We have two libraries in New York here because of the size of our state, and they're being both presented today. Sean Lemieux is from the Upstate Library, the New York State Braille and Talking Book Library. Is that the new name, the current name? Say again? Talking Book and Braille. Talking Book comes first, huh? Okay. So, that's all right. You didn't make the name. I can't blame you for that. Wasn't blaming you anyway. And we have from the Andrew Driscoll Library for the blind, physically disabled, and mentally challenged, or whatever we are, and Talking Book and Braille Library. We have Chancy Fleet. Chancy is on first because she's got her stuff set up here. So let me give you Chancy Fleet. She's sharing the time with Sean. So those two ladies have...
Good morning.
Good morning. They're sharing their time. I'm off.
Good morning, folks. I'm not Jill Rothstein. I'm Chancy Fleet. Jill is sadly not able to join us today, but it's actually kind of for a happy reason. We have certain limits to our budget, and we're using the money that, you know, I was going to be here anyway. We're using her travel expenses toward us going to the American Library Association next year, because our proposal to educate librarians about accessibility and serving library patrons with disabilities has been accepted, and we're going. So she sends her regrets and her apologies, but we promise we're gonna make up for it. So I want to talk to you real quick about kind of an overview of things that we offer at our library, and then I want to drill down on a couple of particular projects. So I have the one pager of Did You Knows that I was handing out yesterday, and I think most of you know about some of them. So how many people know that we have 125,000 free Braille and audiobooks and magazines delivered by mail or by download? We know. Okay. Free one-on-one and group assistive technology coaching. Less of you know, more of you will know soon. Free membership to Bookshare, which is an online library of 600,000 accessible titles. So you know that time when you're looking for a book and there's no book on the subject that you're interested in the Unbarred? That's when it's time to sign up for Bookshare. Now, I want to be super clear about something. You don't have to live in New York City to take advantage of this, okay? You're going to have to fill out a little bit of paperwork, but at the end of the paperwork, you get a free Bookshare membership. So do it. If you work, live, or pay taxes anywhere in New York State, you can have a New York Public Library card. That card gets you the free access to Bookshare. If you need to figure out how it works with us, in brief, you need an NYPL library card, you need the promo code, which is NYPL16, and you need to sign up for Bookshare. If any of those three things is problematic, contact us and we'll straighten it out. And you can be downloading Bookshare books. We have accessible cultural events and workshops, and I want to address something directly. We had to postpone our fall technology, culture, and community fair because we expected that the attendance would be so large that we would have, like, facilities problems. So I want to announce that we are targeting the spring. We hope to hold it in the spring, and we hope to have it at a bigger and more central location so that everyone is comfortable and has fun and are not sardines. So that's our plan. Promise it's not canceled. It was only postponed. We have brand new free early Braille and tactile literacy kits to borrow. So if you're an educator or you're part of a family that has a blind person in it and you want early Braille books, Papa Cells, Braille labelers, all kinds of... tactile mazes to help you with tactile literacy. All that is available in these early literacy kits, and you can check them out from the library. We have inclusive story time and play time for young children, free accessible technology on site like screen readers, magnification, Braille embossers, CCTVs, the list goes on. A Braille study group that meets twice a week, volunteer and work experience training opportunities, a patron advisory group that helps guide us by telling us what they want to see happen next. And all of the information about all of this is available when you go to talkingbooks.nypl.org or when you call us at 212-206-5400. So that's my overview. Now I want to talk about some kind of mission stuff for this year. So who here participated in the Visible Lives Oral History Project a couple years back? Awesome, right? So that project was funded by a grant from the Knight Foundation in collaboration with the Moth. And it was done by folks from our branch and folks from the digital team at Main Branch, the one with the lions, the really important one. And we designed an oral history project that preserved the stories of over 200 New Yorkers with disabilities, okay? We designed that project as part of a web of neighborhood oral history projects around the city. And I think the success of that project hinged in part on finding ways to position our disability-focused work in kind of a broader tapestry of stories. Because you know, sometimes you talk about accessibility and no one who doesn't have a disability cares. If you position your work in a broader tapestry, they may care, right? So we also designed a transcription tool that makes the stories across that whole tapestry searchable, accessible to people who cannot or would rather not listen but instead want to read. So deaf people and people who are in busy offices and don't want to hear audio. Anyone can listen to the stories, check out the computer transcription, go in and help improve it. So it's a micro-volunteering opportunity. Every component of the oral history project, from interviewer training to the recording kits to the computer-aided transcript tool, was totally accessible to screen reader users. And I firmly believe, and this is why I'm bringing it up, even though that this is a done project, it's important to consider this type of project because I believe that when disability rights and social justice advocates design broad community collaborations with wide appeal and tangible benefits for people with and without disabilities, we've got the power to advance a global conversation about accessibility, make access feel easy and natural to people who may not yet know why they should care, and in small but cumulatively important ways, that is how we change the world. So we've been on the lookout for more of those collaborations, and the last big thing I want to share with you today is the result of the next one of those. The New York Public Library has a staff-wide, among our thousands of employees, a staff-wide innovation grant program. It's not explicitly about accessibility, it's for any NYPL staff member, and it was funded by the Revson Foundation. Around the time of last year's state convention, I was quietly awaiting some news about this grant with some other folks. Jill Rothstein, our chief librarian, who wishes she could be here, and Willa Armstrong from the digital team, who helped us out with our transcript tool. We wanted to continue working together because it's fun and we get stuff done. I'd like to share that news with you now. We won our grant. Not only did we win our grant, but we were able to multiply the impact of our grant by also getting a donation of a tactile graphics suite, digitizer, and braille embosser from the New York State Commission for the Blind. So, which we deeply appreciate, and it's nothing better than like having accessibility friends in the room and mainstream capital in the room. It's so important. So I'd like to tell you about the Dimensions Project. We'd like to make it more possible for blind and other non-visual literacy appreciators to actively pursue their own access to the maps, diagrams, images, and 3D models that they need, okay? How many people have heard the story of the blind man and the elephant? Does anybody actually like that story? We don't, right? So it's always bugged me. I've always thought that it's a really offensive story about blindness, but now I think of it as a story about why accessibility is important. Because if the blind men had had access to a scaled down tactile model of an elephant, they would have understood it right away. So our project invites community members to attend free community trainings, which we'll offer quarterly. We're going to cover tactile tactics, design principles, and best practices to keep in mind when you design something to be explored by touch. Accessible computer-aided design, or CAD, where you'll learn how to use Tactile View software, thanks Commission, to import images and optimize them for tactile use or to create your own. So you can draw on screen with a mouse or on a digitizing tactile tablet or by using basic math to tell the computer what kind of lines, shapes, and textures you want and where you want them. And our third training is going to be all about 3D printing. We have a Lulz bot. So you're going to learn what 3D printing is, how to find existing 3D models you can print, how to physically interact with the 3D printer in a way that's effective and is safe. We want you to be real clear on where the 450-degree hot end is. But we don't want you to hand over the print job to a sighted person. We want you to learn how to do that safely, and you can, and how to make your own designs. So once you've taken these trainings, or whichever of them you need, any community member, blind, sighted, we do not care, can come into the library and use our design and production tools to make accessibility happen to the spatial information that they need. The maps that we distributed this weekend were created by blind and sighted people working together. But critically, the sighted person on the project was a nice and intelligent person, but someone who had zero prior experience with tactile graphics. The blind people who helped create the map were able to guide that person, and together with the expertise that comes from knowing about tactile literacy and with a pair of eyes, we were able to have a conversation and take a regular PDF and eventually get it into a sparse, kind of minimalist, usable line drawing with a little key that explains where everything is. That whole thing took only 4 hours of labor, and 2 of those hours were everybody learning from our mistakes. So it is possible, and it is not as intimidating as you think, and we can do it together. So we invite you to tell your friends, tell your mobility instructor, your art teacher, your intern, your mom, come in and help make access happen, please. I'll take questions in one moment. As we push forward with exciting new projects, we remain committed to providing free technology training on smartphones, coaching on smartphones, tablets, computers, whatever else blind people in our community need to learn. We do not replace comprehensive training, and we are not competing with the AGs. In fact, we refer assertively. We believe that everyone who's entitled to comprehensive training ought to have it. We're not replacing the agencies. What we are replacing is that feeling that you have when you know that there's a friend or neighbor or a coworker who can, in an informal, organic way, show you how something gets done. We provide 150 hours a month of peer tech coaching, plus our group workshops, plus time spent with people on dimensions and other special projects. Our staff in the tech department is me, my talented and energetic colleague Nefertiti Matos. Yeah. And a diverse team of volunteers like Antonio and Nihal, and many more who share their time and expertise. So here comes the big ask. We need you. We need your help. There are volunteer and work experience training opportunities doing tech coaching, helping out in our Braille study group. We also have opportunities for introverts. We have design. We have research. Boy, do we have a lot of writing and troubleshooting. Some of our volunteers prepare and present their own group workshops. And so you could just commit to doing something 3 or 4 hours once a quarter, and that contribution would be much appreciated, or you can do more. For those of y'all that don't know our story, and this is where I'll end, our technology education department began when a few blind New Yorkers got together and founded it as volunteers in 2010. I was one of the founding volunteers. So was Nihal, who seems to be right out in the hallway. And Ray Wayne helped us with the talks that led to our partnership with the library. So we literally came from nothing. So 7 years later, we have staff, We have a cadre of over a dozen regular volunteers, and we're getting pretty well known, which means we now need more volunteers. The more pairs of hands we have, the more people working together to bring the community outcome to have. More people to the world, the more good outcomes we're going to have. More people reading Braille. More people feeling confident with their phones and with their technology. More people believing that they can be spatially literate and like that visual information isn't really visual information, it's just spatial. More accessible images, more circles of support for everything from creative writing to origami. Origami Club starts in January. Together, our volunteers help fellow New Yorkers with disabilities improve their skills in order to live the lives they want and to build the community that we all want. So please, as a patron, as a volunteer, to whatever degree you're moved to do so, please join us. Thank you.
All right. Chancy, you had a question for someone. I'd like to hold that question until Sean has a chance to speak. I want you both to have your chances.
I'll stay close and we can...
Yes, just stay close and then you can take the question after Sean has had a chance. Just one quick comment. The fact that you got Ray Wayne involved in a technology project was the first miracle at the library. Yeah, let Sean have her bite at the apple, too, because otherwise those of you with trimmer waistlines will be going up before you die of starvation if you're 5 minutes late for lunch.
So apparently Nancy is tall, and I am not. I had to lower the mic. So who wants to make a road trip to New York City and go see Chancy? Me. Okay. So just to give you a little background, my name is Sean Lemieux, and I am a senior librarian at the Talking Book and Braille Library here in Albany, and I love my job. So thank you to every single patron who is in this room, and non-patrons alike, because it took me a year to get here, and I'm so grateful and so thankful. And I don't know about being the top person in my gig, but I try. So in case you haven't been a patron, the three qualifications are: you need to be blind or visually impaired, you need to have a physical disability, or you need to have a reading disability. And the reading disability needs to actually be signed off by a doctor. So I say this to you because I'm betting you know people, who have, say, Parkinson's disease or MS or traumatic brain injury, and you don't think, well, gosh, this service is for blind and physically handicapped. Well, guess what? Serve other people as well. So just so you know, pass the word on. So we serve the 55 counties north of the city. So we serve Westchester and above. So if you're in that service area and you know anybody that needs our service, don't hesitate and get in touch with us. We'd be glad to help out. I just would like to give you just a tad bit of street cred. I know you guys are, you know, short on time and you'd like to eat your lunch. But I am originally from upstate New York. I was totally blind. I do have congenital cataracts and glaucoma. And I lost my congenital cataracts when I moved to Albany because they said, no, you don't have glaucoma anymore. You have what's called consistently high eye pressure. I was like, cool. And then I'm 4'8", and they measured me and said, you're 5'1". All right. So I've gained one less vision loss and some height. So I love Albany. I did graduate from Syracuse University with a master's degree in 2011, so I'm still dusting off my shiny master's degree in information and library science. So I've been in libraries. I started out in the North Carolina Library for the Blind many years ago. I'm not going to tell you how many because then you might get my age. And then the West Virginia Library Commission. So I've been in libraries for 15 years. And one of my goals is to be like Chancy's library when we grow up. So we don't have a lot of the funding set in place, and we don't have a lot of the infrastructure. I've been in place since June of last year, and so we're working on some of those things. So speaking of some of those things, we are piloting a project called the MOCA, and it's a MOCA hub, and what it as it's going to be now. This is a pilot program, so you know we can't like give it to everybody yet. But it's a small box that is Wi-Fi enabled, and you hit a button, and it says downloading book, and then you can skip to the book, and it works off your wish list from Bard. And you actually, if you've never used Bard, like there's a lot of people who are technology, they just don't want to, and I get it. I don't want to learn much more technology because I'm too old. But I do because I love technology. But some people just don't. So what we do is we hook this little machine up. They have the capability of going from their wish list. They can download these books onto a cartridge, pull the cartridge out, put it in their player. So this is possibly 3 to 3 years down the road. So we have 4 patrons who are going to be participating in this project. We get to give them the machines, and they get to work with us. The key thing is then they have to talk to me because they have to answer surveys. So then they answer the surveys and answer the questions, and then they actually have to give the machine back. So picking 4 people who would actually give the machine back was a little, that was tough because they're like, we want to keep it. So we'll be working on that trial in January after the holidays. Next big thing is, we are getting, of course, I'm sure you've heard about the Orbit 20. So we'll be, Perkins is testing those. My understanding is that Chansey is testing those. Our state librarian has been out, and he really wants to test it, but without him, I can't get the funding. So he'll be back soon, and once he does, we'll get some funding, and we'll be playing around with that too. So I'm really excited about that. So what that does is, people, I was just going to say that. You guys are reading my mind. So what that is it's a Braille display that is Wi-Fi enabled that can pull books down off of Bard. And so you don't have to, I'm not saying you didn't want to, but you know, when you, every once in a while you need that 26,000 volume dictionary, you don't have to carry it with you. You can just carry this 20 cell Braille display and it's there. And you can carry that around and have access to everything on Bard. So I'm excited because I'm learning Braille and it's not for the weak of heart. And I have been in the, I was in the transition between UEB and so now I'm stuck. So I'm hoping to get pushed a little forward with that because I can read grade 1 and then push into grade 2. So that's my excitement. And then, so that's another thing. And then 3 to 5 years down the road, we're going to have a Wi-Fi enabled digital talking book player. So I know for some of you, you're like, well, I use my phone and I use this. And that's cool. But there's a lot of people who don't. And I don't. I travel with my phone and listen to my books all the time because I have a problem. I'm a librarian and I read. My name is Sean. So what happens is, yeah, and I'm 5'1". Yeah. So they, so what'll happen is, I use my iPhone when I'm traveling, but when I'm actually home and cleaning my house, I use my digital talking book player because I want my battery for my iPhone. So then it'll be Wi-Fi capable and I'll be able to download off of that. So those are the new things that are coming down the pike from the National Library Service. And of course, that's what we do. So it is our hope that we will be participating in all of these events. It is our hope that we will be able to go to the national conference in Tennessee next year. I'm at least going to ask. I don't know about my colleague Mike. He's not much on traveling, which is why I'm here today, because I like to travel. And just one last thing. So I have a guide dog, and I do normally travel with him. However, he has developed the separation anxiety thing where I can't speak in public because he thinks I'm ignoring him. So we're working on it, but I didn't want to cry the whole time, so he's at home. So he says hi, by the way. But so I was speaking in front of the Board of Regents, because believe it or not, the Talking Book and Braille Library has not been in front of the New York State Board of Regents in 9 years. So I got the pleasure of going and, hey, this is us. Let's get some funding, and we're awesome and amazing. And, you know, and I've got this guide dog going, and I'm like, oh, this is great. And we're only 4 months in, so he's still a puppy. And I'm like, well, so I just said to him, I kind of made it part of the shtick. And I said, you know, I've just got this guide dog. I had 10 minutes. That's in front of the Regents. So I was like, okay, that's it. I'm sorry. He's having separation anxiety. I'll deal with him in about 8 minutes and 50 seconds because I wanted all my time. But so I wanted you to know, if you see me with a guide dog, I'm legit. I promise. I just say that to say that we are here for you and we understand, you know, some days you can see, some days you can't, some days you want 20 books, some days you want one, you want your James Patterson. I'm sorry, we don't have any. you know, we do interlibrary loan a lot of books. So if you can't get one, you know, that's fine. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate and call. I was only able to leave three, I'm extremely embarrassed, three business cards because this is our outreach season and I didn't check the wallet before I left yesterday. So there's one Braille business card and two large print business cards. But if you know the library and you know the 800 number, you can feel free and call and we'll help you out with whatever you can. And I highly advise you get the NYPL card because it gives you it doesn't just get you access to Bookshare. It gets you access to a bunch of other cool things that I'm not going to say right here, but it's really cool. So we advise all patrons to do that too. So Chancey had a question, but I'm going to ask if anybody has a question for me so we don't have to dance. I mean, you know, I'm sure.
I heard Bernice had a question. That's the only one I'm going to take from Jenny's time.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, but I'm going to. But let's be fair. Let's get a question for Sean. Anybody? Who? Candace. Oh, Candace, go ahead.
Okay. Hello. Can you hear me?
Okay. I will take Dr. Mauer's question also. Candace, ask your question of Sean. Bernice. Okay, one of you. Don't try to sneak in with two questions.
So I'm in this. Well, question slash comment in the most respectful way. So I went to National this past summer for the first time, and it was great. So what I'm wondering is, Chancey, oh, my grandpa. Anyway, could you help the National make a map of the lobby of that hotel? Oh, my God, it was the biggest, difficult thing.
Okay, I am really glad you asked. So our model for anyone is that if they want to make access happen, they will help. What we've got at our facility is instruction in how to make it happen and the equipment that will help you make it happen. What we won't do, though, is your homework. So whoever shows up and decides to engage with us and make something cool, we will welcome. And whoever doesn't come will not get anything.
Okay.
Does that answer it?
Mauer, Mr. President?
Yes, sir, Dr. Mauer.
All right. Chancey.
Yes, sir.
Here's what I want to know how to do, and I want to know if you know how.
Okay.
You know, I work on tactile stuff all the time. One part of what I didn't get to earlier today was that we're doing tactile art with kids, and we've got 500 art kits out and stuff like that, and we've got another program coming and all this sort of thing, which we could talk about sometime, but Carl is anxious for lunch.
So I can wait. I just think you'll get a rebellion.
But it's your problem, not mine.
That's true. So keep talking, sir.
Here's what I want to know how to do. I live in a neighborhood which I think I understand. I've walked all over it. I want a map of it. And I know they're out there on the internet. Can you teach me how to get a map and then make it tactile?
The short answer is yes. The slightly longer answer is that we have two technologies that can do it. One of them is embedded in the Tactile View software, and it got a few bugs right now, and we're actively corresponding with the developer to make it better. The other one is TMAP. Has anyone heard of TMAP?
No.
TMAP Automated Production. It came out of Smith Kettlewell, and now it lives at the San Francisco Lighthouse and is getting a much-needed makeover. We have access to the TMAP server, and yes, you can get a street map for the intersections and streets that are right around your street address, and I can teach almost anybody to do it in less than 30 minutes.
I'll be on your doorstep.
All right.
And
ladies, I want to thank you so much for what? Oh, yes.
My question.
Candace, you had a question. Come on, let's wrap it up.
Okay, my question is quick. It's kind of for both. So we're in the upper counties. We're in Monroe. And so when Chancey was talking about the borrowable tactile kits for like working with the kids, would that be borrowable outside of the New York City area if we ended up getting a New York card?
Yeah. This is Sean. So as I told you, I want to be Chancy when I grow up. So we're going to partner to work on that because I think that's something that we should have that we don't currently have. So awesome. It's on the way. That's all I have to say.
Again, ladies, I want to thank you for what you've done and what you continue to do and what you will continue to do. Thank you so much, Chancy and Sean.